this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised seven to raise models of integrity and power. Models that will rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of a word of life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son of the Holy Spirit, and on behalf of my Father in the Lord, Reverend Yemi Gracema Adulodju, I really appreciate him in absentia for this privilege given unto me. I say, may God's name be praised in the mighty name of Jesus. I believe, God, this morning that you are going to bless. You are going to be blessed and return back home blessed, becoming a blessing in the mighty name of Jesus. Choir has really helped us in the session, first session of the service. So we are entering into the second session of the service. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Somebody is here, you are returning back home healed and restored in the name of Jesus. Exodus chapter 34, don't forget our theme for this morning, the glory of His presence. The glory of His presence. Exodus chapter 34, I'll read from verse 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face showed why he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh to him. They were afraid to come nigh unto him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterwards, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment of all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that he which was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. Let's look at chapter 3 of that Exodus, verse 15 and 14. Exodus 3, verse 15 and 14. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And verse 14 says, and Jesus, God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will do what? I will give thee rest. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. I've been ministering this morning on a subject I have titled, Securing the Presence of God. Securing the presence of God. Or you can as well put it, no presence, no glory. Anyone you pick like, they are all good. Hallelujah. The man's greatest factor for a life of glory, impact, and victory is God's presence. That's a man's greatest factor for a life of triumph, for a life of glory, for a life of victory is God's presence. And when you see a life, you see a business, you see a family, you see a ministry that is blossoming, you know, and experience the glory and the goodness of God, know fully well that such has encountered God's presence. That such business, such ministries have secured the presence of the Lord. I secure the presence of the Lord. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Jesus says, our God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed. For God was with him. God's presence. For God was with him. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. The Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and was in the haste of the Potiphar house of his master, a prosperous man, only because God's presence is with me. So God's presence is so very vital for anyone that will make, you know, a great feat in life. For anyone that will experience the glory of God in diverse ways, diverse dimensions, you need to secure his presence. And that's why I say, no presence, no glory. Hallelujah. So we can see and deduce from the scripture that we have read this morning that glory of God is resident in him. The glory is resident in God. So there is no way you will encounter the glory without encountering the giver of the glory. Psalm 84 verse 11, Bible says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He giveth grace and glory. And he said, no good thing will he withhold from them that do what? That walk uprightly. So glory resides in God. As a matter of fact, God is glory personified. So there's no way you will attract the presence of God, that you secure the presence of God, that the glory of the Lord will not rub off upon your life, because the glory is of God. And one thing about this glory is that it is meant and released unto us to accomplish the purpose of God upon our life. So it is not us. It is not for us to make a boast. It is to accomplish a purpose and a plan and an agenda of God for our life. So the glory does not just come just anyhow. The glory comes to address a purpose. The glory being released for us to accomplish an agenda in the mind of God. Moses went up to the mount, 40 days night, 40 days. And, you know, to seek the face of the Lord for the Israel, because God has even promised him earlier that he has brought these people out of the land of slavery, out of Egypt, and he promised on bringing them into the promised land. So Moses was there to receive the commandment from God. So he got the commandment from the Lord, you know, having waited on him, tarry in his presence for so many days, and he encountered him. But while Moses was tarry in God's presence, I'm referring to chapter 31, book of Genesis chapter 31, Moses was tarry in God's presence, and these people grown restless, and they come in the place where they were in camp, they grow restless, and they were so impatient, beckon unto Aaron. This Moses that brought us out of this place, we don't even know where he is at this moment. We are tired of staying here. Can you please make us a god so that we can worship him? And Aaron danced to their tune, collected the hearings of the molten calf unto them. They worship that God. They modest as a god and worship him. And that is part of the instruction that God has given Moses, that this people shall not have any other god except me, for I am a jealous God. They must not serve any other one. That express instruction was given to Moses, and it was communicated to the children of Israel. But because of their impatience, because of their restlessness, because of the lack of what God has in mind for them, the desire for an alternative. And they got it. So God had that, you know, thing from the throne of grace from the heaven. And he told Moses, rush down and go and meet this people. I am angry. I'm not pleased with these people. Despite the things that I've done to them, what I've shown them, mighty words, glorious acts that I've revealed unto them in the land of Egypt. And I've brought them out from my own hand. But Moses interceded and pleaded before God, Lord, do not let your anger wax hot against these people. What will you allow people to say concerning them? They will say, did you bring them out of this land to come and perish them, to come and destroy them? But Moses is a man of God's presence. And God hearkened unto Moses. God respected the word of the Moses. God will respect and hearken to your word in the mighty name of Jesus. But Moses did something so silly. God has hearkened unto your voice. These people are not your people, they are God's people. But as he get down from the mount, he broke the tablet. He broke it. And God was so angry. But Moses knew that this is not going to be an easy task. So one thing that Moses could do again was to go in 33 of that Genesis, verse 15 and 14 that we read, to go before God and plead for mercy and ask God that, Lord, please, let your presence go with me. You promised all the promised land, but I know I have messed up. I have done something silly. But Lord, I desire your presence because I know I have found grace in your sight. God still hearkened to him. God promising, I will go, I have forgiven you. But this time around, I'm not going with you. Angels, my angels will journey with you. He knew better than no. It is God's presence that I desire. I know what is ahead of us. I desire your presence and not of that angels. Hallelujah. And that brought us to just verse 34 that we read the other time. He went up again. God asked him in 34. He called upon him himself. He called upon Moses. Here are two tables of stone, like unto the first one that you did before. And I will write upon these tables the words which were in the first table, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning and come up in the morning and to Montina and present thyself dear to me in the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with thee. Neither let any man be seen throughout all the month. Neither let the flocks nor herds before that month. And he healed that table, two tables of stones, like unto the first. And Moses rose up very early in the morning to meet the Lord. And he was there again, fighting in God's presence. But this time around, the people were there. They were still the people of God. Moses went, Bible says, when he went there again the second time, you know, he came down from Mount Sinai and the glory of the Lord was upon him. His face has changed. There is no man, no one person in life that will encounter the presence of God that his destiny will remain the same again. There was a total transformation. The glory of the Lord shone upon him. And don't forget, the glory that was shone upon this man Moses was just the backside of God. Because God told him, if anyone should see my face, such person cannot be able to stand it. But God just showed him the backside of his back, rather, and it shone upon Moses. And Moses came down to meet these people. And before he could minister to these people, he put a veil upon him. And the Bible let us know that he wished not. It was not in verse 29 that the skin of his face shone when he talked to him. He's aware. He's aware. But he could not really explain. You can't explain it when it is glory. You can only explain it when you can fashion it with your own hands and do your permutation and calculation to discuss and let us know how it is. But when it's come to the glory of the Lord, it's inexplicable. Because if he say he's not aware, he put a veil back onto his face while he's talking with them. But when he entered to minister, meet with the Lord, you know, he put a veil off himself. So a veil is like a covering. We have been told it's a covering. And you don't cover emptiness. You cover something that is present or that is there. So he knew that his life has been transformed and there is a total transformation that is going on within and outside of his life. So he knew that if I should come out to come and see these people with this glory. And don't forget, Reverend, our Father in the Lord, Jimmy Graceman Adoroju has told us that glory has weight. It is weighty. So if God, if Moses could come out to see the children of Israel with the dimension of the glory that he has encountered from the Lord, that would be more casualty. The people could not be able to stand because you know the people of Israel. You know their character. You know their nature. They are stiff-necked people, haughty and stubborn. So they could not withstand the full dimension of God's glory. And Moses also knew that this is my people. I know them. So he put a veil. So a little glimpse of what they can understand is what is being revealed unto them. Praise the name of Jesus. And that is where God operates. He relates unto us based on the level of your understanding. He relates to us based on the level of your knowledge, based on the level of your knowing. So how much of God did you know? He knew that he needed more than a AJ, but God's presence went with him. Thank God for God's presence. I pray for somebody here this morning that the presence of the Lord will not leave you alone in the mighty name of Jesus. It will journey with you anywhere we go in the name of Jesus. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are what? Pleasures forever. Once you secure his presence, you have gotten it all. His presence is more than heaven unto us. His presence is real. It's what makes a difference in a life, in a garden, in an institution, in a ministry. God's presence. Because if you put your trust and you rely upon man, you will be disappointed. But only God. Only God cannot disappoint you. Only God. Though he may tarry, though he may seem as if he's taking time, But something is working behind the scene. Because it's not everything that we can see with our naked eyes. If you could see that, it becomes something else. So God will relate unto us based on the level of our understanding and our relationship with Him. And you are the one that can put a limit upon yourself. God is much more. He's unlimited God. So don't put a limit upon yourself. Go extra mile to encounter God's presence. I don't know what you have lost in the past. Or probably at the moment, I don't know what you have lost. I don't know what you have destroyed by your anger. Just as Moses destroyed the first tablet, you know, by anger. But God is still secure God's presence. You can still get God's presence this morning. And when you get it, you know what? You are going to get it in abundance. Everything you have lost, everything you have destroyed by your own hands or by the enemy or by anyone, I pray unto God this morning, because we are in this auditorium this morning, there shall be a divine restoration in the name of Jesus. Well, secure His presence and you will have it in abundance. To experience the glory of His presence, you need to secure the presence of God. So it is well known for us to understand that it is high time for us to stop chasing shadows, stop chasing money, stop chasing gift, stop chasing blessing. There is no way anybody that chases blessing and money, you can never catch them, you can never outrun them. Chase the presence of the Lord. Chase God's presence. Chase His presence. Psalm 38 verse 21. David said, "Forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me." If you take the blessings and you have the blessing can be taken away. Because we live in this evil and wicked world. The blessing can be hijacked. Job chapter 19, verse 9. Even Job, after encountering the glory of God, he said he has stripped him of his own glory. He has taken the crown away from his head. So it can be taken away. The only thing that is guaranteed and secure and, you know, and reliable is God's presence. And that is the only thing that the devil can never take away from a man. Once you secure His presence, you are settled. He might take the coat of many color. He might take anything away from you. But God's presence, He dare not. The Bible says even demon trembles at the feet. Trembled our heart at the presence of the Lord. They trembled at His presence. They can't come near. Secure His presence. Please tell your neighbor, secure God's presence. Secure God's presence. His presence is bigger than the blessings. His presence is bigger than the gifts. Yes, His presence is bigger than everything that you can think of. Once you have the presence, you will experience His glory. Of what good is the blessings that you have gotten without His presence? And that is why we need to understand that His presence is the most paramount things in our life that we need to chase and run after, and not the blessing. I pray that the Lord's presence will not be taken away from us in the mighty name of Jesus. And that is why our attention and focus must be what? On the person of Jesus. And no wonder the scripture says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And there's no way you will see God's kingdom that will not also understand the king of that kingdom. So you understand better the kingdom, the king, the kingdom, the principles, the manner of the life of the kingdom and that community and His righteousness. And every other thing, the glory, the gift, the blessings, the lifting, the sources that we all desire will rub off on you. But the secret is, seek His presence. Seek what? His presence. Psalm 103 verse 7. The Bible says, "God make known His ways. His ways of righteousness, His way of justice unto Moses." He made known His way unto Moses, but His acts unto the children of Israel. That is the level they desire to say. It's not God that put them there. They put themselves at that level. And that is why we say you are the one that can put a limit upon yourself. As far as God is concerned, there are so much more with Him. Much more that we can experience. So quickly, let's look at what brings glory of His presence. What brings glory of His presence? But one other habit is recognize his presence. Recognize what? His presence. Genesis chapter 28, verse 16. Jacob says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew not. He did not recognize the presence of the Lord where he was. And once a man is not conscious of the awareness of God's presence wherever he is, he forfeits the blessings. He forfeits the glory. It doesn't matter how far you have been in church. It doesn't matter how long you have given your life to Christ. Once you did not recognize God's presence, you are denying yourself of his glory and his blessedness. He says, surely the Lord is here, and I know him not. To recognize God's presence is to have an experiential knowledge of God, personal knowledge of who God is. Knowledge of who God is. So you'll be aware, you will know that God's presence is here. We read in the account of Luke chapter 24 of these two men that were going on their way to Emmaus. And we saw the account of them in that Luke chapter 24 from verse 13. Let's look at it. As they were going shortly after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, these men set on their way and they were just thinking and looking and just disturbing. They were soaking so sad because their master Jesus has not risen, and this is the third day they have not seen master. Contrary to what he said when he was departing, this is the third day, and they were sad, they were not happy, they were, you know, not looking good at all. And Jesus drew near to them. He appeared before them. And two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. Please, let's verse. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. Move quickly, let's go. And it came to pass, while they come in together and arisen, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Verse 16. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Verse 18. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and dost not know the thing which are come to pass there in these days? They were questioning and asking Jesus. The presence of the Lord is there with him, but they did not know. And he said unto them, what things are they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. So they are aware that God was mighty in deed, in word, and but they don't recognize his presence. How the chief priests and our rulers deliver him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Let me move quickly to verse 20. Okay, and verse 28. And I will say, and when they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him. They were enjoying the conversation with the master. So please, don't go yet. Please, abide with us. We desire to have you in our journey. Let's go together and so that we can continue. At that point, they have not even discovered and know that Jesus was the one present with them. So it is towards evening, and there is fasting. Bible says in verse 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and break and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Do you know what? Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? Did not our heart burn within us? It vanished out of the sight. When they partake of the flesh and the communion of the blood, their eyes were open. And that is why I know for sure this morning that as you partake of this communion table, every veil, scale upon your eyes that is preventing you from seeing the good, from seeing Jesus himself, shall be scaled off of your eyes in the name of Jesus. Shall be removed out of your eyes in the name of Jesus. They told him, abide with us. And that is what interests God. Because they call on him. May your eyes be open in the mighty name of Jesus. Number 2 point here is honor his presence. This is a significant key in experiencing the glory of his presence. Whatever you honor, you attract. When you honor God's presence, it draws near unto you. Stop dishonoring everyone, even in the house of God. Stop dishonoring your prophets. Stop dishonoring your pastors. Because you are hated or you are older than him. Stop dishonoring people. You cannot attract anything that you dishonor. You cannot. To honor is to worship God. It's to worship Him. To honor is to give God your time. To honor is to render service unto God in His house. Stop dishonoring the house of God. Don't just eat anything anyhow and dump it in the house of God. It's the house of prayer, is the house of God, not your house. So don't treat this place anyhow. Honor God. Honor Him. Honor Him with your time. Honor Him with your worship. Honor Him with your service. There are people here that have been here in this church for so very long a time. They have not deemed it fit yet to join the department to serve God. You are shortchanging yourself. You are shortchanging yourself. So you need to honor God with your service, with your time. And that is why you can experience the glory of God that we are talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember the ark of God that was in the house of Abinadab for 20 good years, which symbolizes the presence of the Lord, was in his house. For how many years? For 20 good years in 1 Samuel chapter 7. The house, ark of the covenant of God was there in his house, you know, and they dishonored that ark, that presence. 20 good years, nothing to show for the presence of God in their house, in their abode. They have nothing to display, nothing to show. Nothing meaningful, you know, happened in their house. And it was taken away from them and was dumped. I won't say it was placed, was dumped. God, the expectation of David was to just put these things, you know, somewhere, knowing fully well that it was the one that had erred into error, failing on the instruction of God. The instruction of God concerning the ark of the covenant was that the priest must carry this ark on their shoulder down to where they are taking it to. But King David, you know, beautifully crafted a cart and put the axe there. And while they were going, the earth shook and about to fall. And who's a place his son to support? A Levite. And God struck him to death. You know the story. So the ark was not supposed to be touched by Levite at all. It was supposed to be carried on the shoulder of the priest to where they are going. That is the pattern. God has a pattern and he has a process. So don't bypass the pattern and the process of God. Follow his process. And because of that thing, fearful thing that happened to him, he dumped it in the house of Obed-Edom. But Obed-Edom is the man of God's presence. As the ark was in his house for 3 months, the Bible says he experienced a total transformation, not only him and his family. The differential is that God's presence was with Obed-Edom. So it does not matter. Obed-Edom was just a gatekeeper. He was a person that was not even reckoned with. A person that was being disdained in the community. They just don't be asked unto him because of the spirit of what happened on their way. So that if you could kill this Obed-Edom, let him kill him. But he turned it around for good for him. I don't know what the enemy is meant for evil for you. Because you are here this morning, the Lord will turn it for your advantage in the name of Jesus. I said God will turn it to your advantage in the name of Jesus. So honor God. Read the story of Aaron and Miriam. Aaron and Miriam, brothers of Moses and his cousins, they also disdained Moses. They spoke anyhow to the man of God. God can also speak to us now. How come only Moses? And before Moses could utter a word, God himself stepped down. How dare you talk to my servant, to my anointed anyhow, the person that I speak to mouth, face to face. Who gave you the audacity to speak unto my servant? Anyhow, be careful of what you say and what you do to men of God. Leave them alone with God to judge them. But don't speak ill against the servant of God. God decorated Miriam with leprosy. And you know, Aaron, the reason why Aaron could not be a filter without leprosy at that time, he was wearing ephod. He was wearing a priestly garment. But at the same time, God did not forget. He said within himself, I perceive and I know. He said, I only suspended this. I will still punish this guy. When they get to Kadesh Barnea, at that particular point, he told Moses, let Aaron remove his garment, take it off from him, and put it on his son, Eleazar. And the garment was put upon Eleazar, and Aaron died at the Kadesh Barnea. And that's exactly where Miriam also died. Because they did what? They dishonored his anointing. So don't dishonor the servant of God. Don't dishonor the carrier of grace and carrier of glory. Don't dishonor everyone. Honor everyone, because whatever thing that you honor, we always rub off upon your life. Number three, things of what can bring down the glory of his presence is quality time in his presence. Somebody say quality time. Quality time in his presence. Whatever that is of worth and high value requires time to show. Whatever that is of worth and high value requires time to show. But we are in a generation where we just want it now. Everything fast. Everything snappy. Everything now. We don't want to wait for the process. Whatever thing that is of worth and high value requires time. You cannot spend quality time in God's presence and not experience his glory. Moses spent quality time in his presence. He tarried there. He was there. And that is why he covered his face with veil when he was coming out. He was not a man that was full of himself. He spent quality time with him. He understood God himself. And God also said, I knew Moses. Let God say concerning you that I know you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. You cannot be hunger and thirst and waste your precious time for the thing that has no value. So you hunger and thirst, you know, in the presence of the Lord, because you want more of him. You want his glory to rub up upon you. Psalm 37, verse 7. The scripture say, be still before me. Amplified version. Be still before the Lord. Say, wait patiently for him. And attach yourself to him. 37, verse 7. Be still and rest in the Lord. Can I have amplified version, please? Be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for him patiently and lean yourself upon him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way. You cannot prosper your own together. Let them prosper. Your own is certain and sure. But stay with him. We have seen his own prosperity. Your own is on the way. It's going to be a bigger form in the name of Jesus. Say, be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for him. But we are so impatient. We just want to jump out, to blow, to show. Wait for him. Patiently. Wait on him. Spend quality time with God. When I knew I was not spending as much quality time with God in the devotion in the house, I changed the order. I share it at our Ezra Project group Bible study. Children, when I wake them up for the devotion, everybody is time for the devotion. You know, they will still be prepared to go to school. As she sat down to break communion and to share briefly, you will see this one like this. This one also will be like this. The other one will also do like this. And they will do as if they are singing. They are not singing, they have slept off. Ah, what is happening? Ezra, come on, sit down there. By the time we only one prayer point or so, they will just, okay. Everybody now, yeah, go and have your bath. Prepare for school. You have dressed up for the school. Fine, sit down. It is when they now wake, dress up for school, that we now sat down to sit down and to now discuss, have our devotion. And at the same time, when we come back in the house in the evening, we see have the devotion together. Just to let them know, to understand in the presence of the Lord, you don't rush out. You don't, it's not a place for you to rush out. Anything can happen in his presence. Praise the name of Jesus. Quickly, before we round up this meeting this morning, how do I secure his presence? Come to him. John chapter 14, verse 5 to 6. Come to him. John chapter 14, verse 5 to 6. John 14. Thank you, media. John 14, not John 16. 5 to 6. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you need to come to him to secure his presence before even talking about experiencing and reflecting the glory of the Lord. And thank God the veil has been removed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the veil has been taken away from us. The children of Israel had the veil upon their own heart, and that is why they could relate like that to Moses. But we don't have the veil again we on our faith. It has been torn. It has been taken away in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So the veil is no longer there. We have the free access to our Father. So come to him. If you can make yourself vulnerable to God, God will draw near unto you. Number two, love him. Love him. Bible says, while we are here, sinner, Christ died for us because he loved us. So you need to love him because he died for you even while we were yet sinner. John 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make what? And make our abode with him, and make our presence to dwell together with him, and tabernacle with him in his place. If he love me, but many of us are full of envy, hatred. We need to empty our heart out of the envy and hatred that fill our hearts and embrace the love of God. Yes, they offended you. Let it go. Just define your relationship just as our Father has told us. If you are taking them into the inner room before, let them stay at the outer court. That is where the children of Israel dwell, the outer court. They cannot even enter into the inner court. But we have the access now. Nobody's being restricted to go into the inner court to relate with God, but you must love him. Show love to your neighbor. Show love to your brethren. Love everyone. The next point I have here is seek his presence with humility. Seek what? Seek his presence with humility. God loves to clothe the humble with his presence. Bible says God himself resisted the proud and gave him more grace unto the humble. More grace, more glory, more power unto the humble. So seek his presence with humility. We have nothing to proud of. God's servant, our Father in the Lord, Reverend Yemi Grace Adeloju has told us, you have nothing to be proud of. Don't be proud of your place, of your face, of what you have. Be humble. Humility is not you have a Lexus and you drop the Lexus car key in the house and you are walking with your leg. That's not humility. That's not humility. Because many of us, you just say, just begin to behave earlier than Pope and begin to. That humility is which will show and reflect upon us. That is humility. That is humility. My next point that I have is be holy. Be holy. God feel at home and reside in a vessel that is pure, a vessel that is clean, a vessel that is pure. He wants to dwell in that vessel. So make your vessel clean. Be holy. Be righteous. Have the right standing with him and do right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. We read it this morning at the school of the Spirit. So follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see God. No man. No man. Follow peace with all men. Another translation said, endeavoring to be at peace with men. He knew very well that it might not be that easy. Because human beings are full of so many assumptions and what have you. But the Bible admonishes us to endeavor to be what? To be at peace for the sake of where we're going. For the sake of the greater glory. Endeavor to be at peace. We told me, Pastor, you don't understand. That lady, that brother is so cantankerous. His attitude is somehow endeavor to be at peace. We told me. We want to honor God with our worship this morning. As we rise up on our feet, and the chorus will lead us in God's presence to worship the Lord. I see the Lord. As we partake in the communion table this morning, the flesh and the blood, your scale, your veil upon your eyes has been torn, has been removed, you will see Jesus. You will recognize his presence. You will honor him. And as a result of that, the glory will rub off on you, will be released upon your life. I see Jesus.
I see the Lord. I see the Lord. Exalted high above the world shame.
I'd like somebody to sing this song very well.
People of the earth, I see the Lord.
Your understanding is coming up upon you now.
I see the Lord.
Your eyes is open. The real promise is the presence.
For my eyes
the real promise is the presence.
King,
not the thief, not the blessing,
the
not the king, but his presence.
The throne of grace.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's Choice Servant. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's Choice Servant in life-changing services at the Light Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda Jue Road, Ibadan. Every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.